Tegan, you have heard a little bit about monkeypox.
It seems inescapable at the moment, and honestly, I've got to hand it to whoever's naming diseases these days. They're definitely attention-grabbing.
Well, it's not a new disease. It's endemic in Western Central Africa, but in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's been reported in non-endemic countries, including Australia. One of the few Australian researchers who has published on monkeypox is Professor Raina McIntyre, who heads the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales. Welcome back to the Health Report, Raina.
Good evening, Norman.
So what is monkeypox? It's kind of a misnomer, isn't it?
Yes, because the natural host is actually rodents, and it's endemic in parts of Africa, particularly Nigeria, Democratic Republic of Congo. I was first identified in the 1950s, but the first human case occurred in 1970, and there were really very, very small outbreaks in the last really 30, 40 years until 2017, when we started seeing these growing outbreaks in Nigeria and Democratic Republic of Congo, and started seeing travel imported cases popping up in the UK and Singapore and Israel since 2018, and now this outbreak.
And in fact, there was an outbreak much earlier in the United States that was from imported rodents from as pets and spread to prairie dogs.
That's right, in 2003, and those were all infections from animals to humans, not human-to-human transmission.
So before we get to the spread into non-endemic countries, why the resurgence in West Africa and Central Africa?
So monkeypox is in a group of viruses called orthopox viruses, of which there are a number. Most are animal viruses, and smallpox is one of those viruses. Variola is a virus that causes smallpox. And that was a virus that only infected humans, didn't infect animals. So smallpox was declared eradicated in 1980, and the last mass vaccination programs were ceased in the 1970s. And the smallpox vaccine protects against many of the orthopox viruses, including monkeypox. So there's two things that have gone on since the 40 years have passed since eradication. One is we've got fewer and fewer people who've been vaccinated. Really, people over 50 may have been vaccinated, and people under 50 generally aren't. And also there's been waning immunity likely from the vaccine. So the older people who've had a vaccine, there's a degree of waning of immunity. So those two things have combined to result in more susceptibility to orthopox viruses, and there's a theory that the monkeypox is re-emerging because it's able to, because there isn't enough immunity.
And more exposure to animals through deforestation is the other theory.
Yeah, and different practices in terms of agriculture and urban living, etc., have all contributed, but the biggest factor is the relative lack of immunity to orthopox viruses.
And the West African one, which is the one that seems to have spread internationally, is less virulent than the Central African one.
That's right, yeah. It's got about a 1% case fatality rate, which is similar to SARS-CoV-2, whereas the other one, the Congo Basin clade, has a 10% case fatality rate. However, the West African clade is thought to have a fatality in the last few years of about 3 to 4% in West Africa.
How does it affect people?
So they get a fever and malaise, feeling generally unwell. You can get swollen lymph nodes and then a rash. That's most commonly on the face. Almost every person who's infected will get it on the face. Followed by the palms and soles, palms of the hand, soles of the feet. And then about 30% of people can get a genital rash, and you can get a rash all over the body. They're kind of hard, blistering kind of lumps that then scab over and heal over a period of a few weeks.
How do you catch it?
It's thought to be, it's a respiratory virus. So it's in the respiratory tract, and it's thought to be through close contact. So it could be through contact with scabs and bodily fluids, etc., but it can also be transmitted through the respiratory route, certainly in the US outbreak, there were cases that were spread from, you know, animal to human without any direct contact. We know that variola, the smallpox virus, is actually highly airborne. So it's likely there is some aerosol transmission as well.
So at the moment it's been reported in men who have sex with men, bisexual men and the gay community, which might just be a fact that that's a very health-aware community rather than a truly in that community. What do you think the local epidemiology is?
There is almost all the cases are male, and a majority are in men who have sex with men in the outbreak that started in the UK, and then, you know, we had these outbreaks popping up in Portugal and Spain, and then in the US, Canada, etc. There have been some links to super spreading events, or, you know, big parties on a particular island in Spain. WHO and other organisations are speculating that it's being sexually transmitted, but I think when you're in really close contact, it's hard to say whether it's, you know, sexual contact per se or just close contact.
So control?
So contact tracing is really important, and cases and contacts should be isolated. There are effective antivirals that have been developed since eradication of smallpox. There's two or three, actually. There's also vaccinia immune globulin, which is, derived from the plasma of people who've had the vaccinia virus, which is a smallpox vaccine. It's a live virus vaccine with a virus called vaccinia that is also an orthopox virus.
No, I can't let you...
Sorry, go on. Yeah. And you can vaccinate the contacts, and that is protective as well.
I can't let you go without talking about a paper you've just published on polio in the Ukraine.
Yeah, we've got an epidemic observatory called EpiWatch, and we keep an eye on... the reason I've published on monkeypox is we've been watching these outbreaks since 2017 and really fascinated by why they were resurging so much. And same with polio. We've been watching polio globally for a while, and as soon as the Ukraine war broke out, we knew what the main diseases were that were going to be a risk there, which were COVID for one, and then followed by measles and polio, because they've had recent outbreaks of both. And, you know, when you get the collapse of public health infrastructure, mass displacement, etc., these epidemic diseases get worse. They've got vaccine-derived polio, so that's an interesting story in that, you know, the WHO has been trying to eradicate polio and got really close, but there's a couple of hotspots in the world which until now were, you know, Nigeria, Pakistan and Afghanistan, but there's also started to be these outbreaks of vaccine-derived polio. So the oral polio vaccine, which is used in most of the world, is a live polio virus that's been attenuated, and it can revert to becoming pathogenic. We don't use that in Australia. In Australia, we use the inactivated polio virus, but that's much, much more expensive. The oral one is very cheap, which is why it's used in... So when you've got low vaccination rates and you're using that oral polio vaccine, you set the scene for vaccine-derived polio, basically, which is where people can get paralytic polio from a strain that's, emerged from the vaccine.
And how many cases so far, just before we go?
They haven't had a lot. It's just been a couple, you know, one or two cases. But any case of polio around the world is watched very closely. So the risk factor is a drop in vaccination rates, which obviously there will be in the Ukraine now, because public health services have, you know, basically stopped.
Raina, we're going to have to finish it there, but thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Professor Raina McIntyre heads the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.